Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. You're listening to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with Dr. John Wood, who's written a new book called The Light Entrusted to You. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
All right. So, friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, John and I just kind of talked a little bit about who he is and what he's doing and the amazing work he's doing. He's a mobile eye doctor by day, but he's also developed a very dynamic charitable, you wouldn't say it's...
Ministry.
A ministry. That's the simplest way to say it. Yeah, ministry of teaching and teaching the faith and teaching parents and family in particular to strengthen relationships and strengthen the family. And he's written a book that will give you lots of practical wisdom. So yesterday, we just kind of gave an introduction to the book. If you didn't have a chance to hear it, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on the computer or download them on whatever device works for you. But today, we're going to start rolling up our sleeves and digging into some of the content. So, John, take it away.
Yeah, so saying yesterday, the way I structured this is kind of like the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which has four pillars of the faith, and I divided this book up into six pillars that makes up an acronym of the word saints, S-A-I-N-T-S. And so today I thought we'd just kind of, you know, delve into the first two topics, the first two chapters, which are saving grace and athletics. You know, you'll discover through the book, I like to use a lot of things that people already know and love, movies, sports, art, music, you know, those kind of things, you know, meet people where they are and then, you know, lead them to where God is calling them to be. And so I think sports were a big part of my journey and grace is kind of where everything starts. So I wanted to start the book with saving grace. You know, my name, John, means God is gracious. And so I always had that scripture quote from St. Paul who said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me is not in vain. It's not ineffective. It has real power. And so I think people have to understand that, you know, everything begins and ends with God's grace. It's not about putting the weight of the world on your shoulders, that, you know, God's grace is available. And I'll propose maybe more grace available now than ever before, because Paul also said that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And I think you can agree that sin's abounding right now. You know, you look in the world and you look at the news, you know, sin is real. Evil is real. Demons are real. You know, you call them whatever you want. I call them dragons. In this chapter, I kind of focus on the idea of dragons and helping our kids understand that they're going to struggle with dragons or temptations, sins, things that are going to keep us from becoming the saints that we were created to be. And we need to teach our young people, again, virtue. We need to teach them to be dragon slayers. You know, we don't have to be afraid of the dragons out there, because on our side, we have the Blessed Mother, the woman whose seed crushes the head of the serpent. We have St. Joseph, who is the terror of demons. We have the good angels who guard and protect us. We have the great saints of the past who pray for us and intercede for us. And we have the most powerful weapon in the world, the blood of the cross. Because from that blood flows that saving grace. And that's grace that produces virtue. Virtue breeds holiness. Holiness makes saints. And saints slay dragons. You know, if you read the stories of the saints, that's what they did. They all struggled. They were all sinners. But by God's grace, that superpower we have called grace, they became great dragon slayers, and we can help our kids by, you know, teaching them the stories of the saints, teaching them, you know, I've never met a kid that really likes to be told what's right and wrong, but I've yet to meet a kid that didn't want to be a dragon slayer.
Yeah.
So I use this approach a lot. You know, a lot of parishes want me to speak at their elementary school, and I'll go in there dressed as a dragon slayer, and I'll teach them about the dragons, and I get a lot of fan mail about being a dragon slayer.
Great.
So it's fun, but it's also great for the kids, and it's a powerful tool for parents. You know, the primary book I use for this for kids is called Dragon Slayers, and it's genius. It gives the dragons a picture. It gives them a name. It describes the dragon and what it calls symptoms of exposure to stench. And my kids love the book, and so it's greatly helpful for me because they have all the dragons memorized, and all you really have to do is name the dragon, you know. you know, if they're whining because they need another toy, they're, you know, you just say, yo, and that's avarice. You're getting attacked by avarice. And they know that generosity is the sword or the virtue that can defeat avarice. And so it's a powerful tool, not just for kids, but for us adults as well. You know, the first step is you have to realize that you're a sinner. You know, that's how we start Mass. You know, I need God's grace. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is so successful because step one is, I have a problem. And same thing for us in our lives. If we can identify our dragon, we can defeat our dragon by God's grace. And so I just felt like it was important to kind of start the book with this whole idea of grace and virtue to lead us on this call to holiness and help us and our kids accomplish that extraordinary mission of becoming the saints that God created us to be.
So we don't forget, probably some of our listeners saying, Dragon Slayer book. How do I get this Dragon Slayer book? What is this Dragon Slayer book? Yeah. You know, that I can read to my kids, you know, and you said, what is it like?
Yeah, so it's funny, the book's not actually in print anymore, but we're working on that. And I'm good friends with the author of the book. And we're going to get it back in print. It's just a matter of when. But I do have some copies still available on my website. So if you just go to extraordinarymission.com, there's a shop page there. There's limited quantities available, so I wouldn't wait too long. But it's sold out on Amazon, but you can get them through my website. And then in the very near future, it will be republished, re-released, which is exciting.
Is it like a list of the dragons are the vices or the seven deadly sins or something like that? And then the virtues is what counter those? Is that...
Yeah, the beginning of the book has 12 chapters to symbolize the 12 apostles, and it's kind of a catechism of itself.
Okay.
And it's spoken in a very unique language of a dragon slayer. Sir Wyvern Pugilist is the name of the author, and it's very engaging language. And then it gets into all these dragons. So it's not specifically the seven deadly sins. Okay. You know, you could add more dragons, and I've done that.
Yeah.
But it has, you know, like 7, 8, 9, 10. And they're not all sins. Some of them are obstacles, like fear and those kind of things. And it gives that dragon a name, describes them. And then the last third of the book is saints, so the dragon slayers of old. So there's great stories of saints of the past and how they struggled with specific dragons, so they can connect the saints to the dragon, and then they teach you how that saint overcame that dragon. So it's really really neat concept and idea.
I'm going to get one of those for my kids, grandkids.
Yeah, to check them out. I just bought it because the pictures were amazing. My son just like, you know, he wanted to buy it, and I was like, all right. And then I had to get one for every one of my kids. It's like a book. They all have, you know, like their manual, their Dragon Slayer manual.
It's the introduction to the Lord of the Rings that's coming later, probably.
It is, because, you know, one of my primary resources, if you go to the website, saintsinthemaking.com, that's kind of the website for this book, where you find all the resources I recommend. And the primary resources for adults, you know, I think Tolkien was probably the greatest evangelist of the last century. You know, he wrote the number one selling novel, and it's soaked in Catholicism, and people don't even realize it.
Right.
And it reminds us, when we talk about grace, that we have to start telling stories again. You know, a textbook can teach you how not to fail a class, but storybooks teach us how not to fail life. And if we want to teach our kids to make good choices, make good decisions, then we need to start reading them good stories. And there's a lot of great stories, not just The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, but lots of great novels out there that can teach us. We're in the stories. Their stories are true. We're in there, and they teach us about life. And we are the ordinary little hobbits that are given this extraordinary task. And we have to go on that unexpected journey to discover who we are and, you know, face the dragon. You know, if like Bilbo learns in The Hobbit, if you don't go out the world and face the dragon, you become the dragon.
Yeah.
And so there's great lessons just soaked in those stories. And so there's actually resources for Tolkien, how you can teach the Catholic faith through those stories and all the great symbolism. So those are part of the resources I use for saving grace.
Oh, that's wonderful. I just keep thinking now of how the halflings bring down Mordor.
Yeah.
You know, that humility. Clearly it's by God's power, but it was something about their humility and that allowed God's power to work through them to bring down the pride of Sauron.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday in the show, that some of us are like, I can't do this, you know?
Yeah.
And God calls us to these extraordinary tasks, but you can see it right in the story. You know, Frodo himself says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this would ever happen,
right,
you know?
Right.
And Gandalf in his wisdom says, so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you get to decide is what to do with the time you've been given. And it's talking to us.
It's right where we are.
Yeah.
Isn't
that, and we're in that story.
I mean, how many times people just want to check out?
Yeah. Why do I have to live here now?
Right.
Like, because you were born for a time such as this.
I want to go find a quiet island somewhere.
Yeah.
I just want to be left alone. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is a battlefield, you know,
it is.
And you're in it.
Yeah.
This is your moment. This is your moment, really, to trust the Lord, and he'll do something great with your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of just going, I'm going to make myself great. I'm going to walk with the Lord because he has a great destiny and purpose for me. So, well, what about chapter two, athletics?
Yeah,
we don't want to miss that. A couple of old athletes,
that's right. And sports were a huge part of my life. And so that saving grace leads right into athletics, because yesterday I talked about what my mother told me, try your best, let God do the rest. You know, trying your best is really the sports part. You know, we have a part to play. And I discovered in my own life that the same thing it takes to make a champion is the same thing it takes to make a saint, you know, that from that battle cry of win, 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 I discover the battle cry of sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. Mm-hmm. And if our kids like sports and if we like sports, we have a perfect avenue to teach them the faith. You know, you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, we complain a lot of times because our kids are in so many sports or activities, but, you know, if they like them, use them to teach that faith. You know, I use another acronym in this chapter. I like acronyms. They help me remember things. So I use the acronym of sports, you know, S-P-O-R-T-S, self-discipline, perseverance, obedience, repetition, teamwork, sportsmanship. You know, these are things that make a champion, but they're also things that make a saint. You know, we need self-discipline. We need perseverance and passion. We're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon in the race of life. You know, obedience. You know, how successful is an athlete going to be if they don't listen to their coach? You know, we hear the term cafeteria Catholic. You know, I like this or I'll do that. Imagine if we applied that in sports. You know, if your kid signs up for the basketball team and says, you know, coach, I'll run these plays, but I'm not running that play, or I'll do these drills, but I don't think that one's necessary. You know, that team's going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same thing. We can trust the Catholic Church. She's our coach, and yeah, she's produced the likes of St. Patrick and St. Francis and St. Augustine. She's the greatest coach in history. She's produced saints in every century and every time and every place. If I told you that the same person coached Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and, you know, LeBron James, and you wanted your kid to go to the NBA, and I knew this coach, I think you'd want to talk to that coach, right? You know,
right.
Well, Catholic Church is that coach when it comes to raising saints. And so we have to be obedient in the faith. And then repetition's another really powerful one. You know, a lot of people say the faith is boring. You know, why do we have to go to Mass every week? Or why do we say rosaries? Or why do we repeat these things? Well, why does your kid go to practice every day? Why do they shoot free throws every day? Seems kind of boring, right? Well, that's how Larry Bird became the greatest free throw shooter in the history of the NBA, because of repetition. And so, you know, I tell parents, you can't just drop your kids off once a week and expect them to get it. They got to practice their faith every day. I mean, do we thirst for heaven the way we thirst for a championship trophy? You know, we should. And so, you know, that repetition is powerful. And teamwork. Remember, we're a team. We're in this together. It's not just me and Jesus. We're part of the greatest family in the universe. You know, when I travel across the country, I get kind of homesick pretty quick. But when I walk into a Catholic church, you know, there's Mary and there's Joseph, there's the tabernacle, and it's the same Mass and the same prayers that are being said in Africa and Asia and Antarctica and Europe. I mean, one family, and I feel at home again, that connection. And if you were God and you wanted to send a memo to the world, how would you do it? Maybe 1 billion Catholics all reading the same readings every day, you know. And so again, a kid knows they got to go to practice. They got to practice at home. Yeah, we got to pray at home, but we also got to practice as a team. A family that prays together stays together. And so those are just a couple of examples of how sports can teach us why Catholicism does what it does. Because, yeah, you know, the church isn't interested in us just being nice people. She wants us to be saints, and she's going to challenge us and push us to do that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of often Jesus said, you know, if you're hungry and thirsty, you'll be fed and I'll quench your thirst. You know, those who seek will find, those who knock will enter. And, you know, athletes who want to be great, they're inspired, they have passion, they make sacrifices to achieve goals. And if we turn to the Lord and give him our heart and have the passion to pursue him, to seek him first above all things, he will do great things with us. And people look around and say, oh, the church is kind of in a mess and the world is so domineering, you know what I mean? It's so difficult. Well, it's because the church has an infinite capacity for regeneration. The question is, do we want it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we really want it? Do we really want to pursue it? It's there.
Yeah.
It really is. The answer for the world is the church.
Yes.
It's just living what we're called to be. So anyway, John, you inspired me today, my friend. This is really good stuff. Friends, awesome. We're going to get back after it again tomorrow. Hope you can join us. Tune in again. But until tomorrow, this is John and Peter saying God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.